Hi, I'm Patty Young from Doel Community Church. Welcome to Care Group October 2020, the year we will all remember. I'm going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer and then we'll get going. God, I just want to thank you so much that even in a year that has been so wild, we still have different ways we can connect, that we can spend time together, that we can spend learning from you and from each other. Just want to pray that as we listen, sit and listen to this and think through these things, God, that you would just help each one of us as parents to find hope from the fact that you're involved, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord, and teach each one of us. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to talk about being open to input with your parenting. Super important topic, but first I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been married to my husband, Jay, for 28 years, and we have two kids. Silas is 22 and Emma's 19. And we are recently trying to figure out the empty nester thing as both of our children have now moved out of the house. So we have raised our children up to adulthood, but I sit here before you and I want to be really clear about this as a learner, as someone who's still being taught by the Lord about parenting, not as an expert. As you'll see, while we go along here, I have a vast catalog of mistakes and lessons learned and all those things in parenting. So being open to input, very, very important part of being a parent. There's a paradox that happens with parents, with parenting. And I want to talk a little bit about what exactly is a paradox. Now, paradox is when you have something that is seemingly contradictory or absurd, but then when you delve into it, it starts to make sense, like this, a jumbo shrimp, right? Doesn't make sense. When we think of the word jumbo, we think of big things. When we think of shrimp, we think of little things. So it's a paradox. But if you lived in the shrimp world and you were this little extra small shrimp swimming next to this big jumbo colossal shrimp, it would be a jumbo shrimp. So in the shrimp world, that guy's a big shrimp. It's a paradox. And with our parenting, we experience a different kind of paradox. And that is this. We need help. We all know it. We all know we make mistakes. We all know we don't have all the answers. We all know there are things we need to learn about parenting, while at the same time, we're really hesitant to receive input. It's something that's hard for us to do. And in fact, when someone comes to talk to you about parenting, maybe you're familiar with a reaction like this. You know, someone's treading towards the dangerous waters of talking about my children or my parenting, and you have this sort of like mama bear reaction or papa bear reaction. Now, I want to be clear about something. It is understandable to have a strong reaction when it comes to parenting. Our job as parents is to protect, to guide, to instruct our children, our hearts, our souls. We love our children. So we're not talking about some lighthearted subject like, you know, whether you like Coke or Pepsi. We're talking about our children. So it's understandable that we have a very strong reaction about this when it comes to parenting. It's very close to our hearts. And in fact, we kind of need to figure out what we're going to do. In my experience with parenting, I cannot tell you how many times I have nominated and selected myself as Mother of the Year. Maybe you can relate to something like this. This was when my daughter was in elementary school. She was out riding her scooter and she fell and hurt her arm. And so, you know, I brought her in and put ice on it, but I was like, she's fine. She's fine. No big deal. Jay came home and he was looking at it. He's like, we probably should have this looked at. And I was actually, I'm not going to lie, I was actually irritated. Like, okay, let's go, waste some time, and off we went. And you probably have figured out where the story is going. Her arm was broken. And I felt like such a failure as a parent. Here, my little girl had a broken arm. I'm like, oh, she's fine, whatever. She's just, ever felt like a failure as a parent before? I'm not the only one. Or maybe you can relate to this. Have you ever had one of these metal puzzles where the goal is to try to get like the one piece out and you feel like you're finally making headway through, only to discover it's like more tangled up and twisted than before, and you're like worse off. Have you ever felt that way about your parenting? Like, just as I figure out the diaper thing, I have to figure out the running into tables thing, and just there are so many areas in parenting where I have failed, made mistakes, been confused, not had the answers. I'm in this paradox. And so what we have here is this real dilemma. There's this felt need for input and help and direction, while there's this fierce protection of my own way and doing things myself and figuring it out. And so we have to think this through together to grow in our parenting, to become the kind of people who can be real and honest, who can receive input, who can listen to help, and try to raise our kids to love Jesus, to follow him with their whole lives, means we're going to need to get some help. So let's talk through this together. We're going to look at three things. Number one, why is input from others so important in our parenting? Number two, what gets in the way of receiving input? And thirdly, how can we learn to be more receptive to input? So let's go ahead and jump into our first question. Why is input from others so important? Well, I really want to start off by talking about just the importance of this role of parenting. You know, being a parent is one of the most important things I'm going to do with my life. Okay? There's several different reasons why this came to mind as I was thinking about it. Number one, in Psalm 127, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands." Children are a gift from God. They are a gift from God. And I remember the day my son Silas was born. I remember holding him and thinking, like being overwhelmed that I could love this little man so much like that. I'd known him for seconds face to face and was filled with this love, this precious gift that God had given me. And I felt the same way when my daughter was born. They're a gift from God. And then you start to look into what it looks like to be a parent, and you come across verses like this. In Proverbs 22, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." So on that same day when he was born and I was in awe of this love for him, I started doing this thing in my head where I started thinking through all the years that are to come with my son. And then with my daughter, the baby years and elementary and junior high, high school, dating, school, you know, what's important, what isn't, the bumps, the bruise, all of it, like the weightiness of, oh my God, I have been entrusted with these lives to try to raise them up in a way to follow the Lord. It was an enormous responsibility. Is parenting important? Oh yeah, it's important. God has entrusted these children that we love so deeply and wants us to raise them with his help. And so why do we need input from other people? Well, it's quite a role he's given us to be their parents. The second thing that I think is really important that might seem redundant but needs to be said is that we all need help and guidance in our parenting. You know, have you ever felt like this picture and your parenting where you're trying to navigate a rocky, craggy place and you're not sure of the way forward? You're not sure how to navigate this. I remember when Emma was in elementary school and she went through a couple years that were really rough. And I had no idea how to help her. I exhausted all my ideas, my thoughts, my plans, everything I could think of. And I was lost. I didn't know what to do. Have you ever had those moments where you're agonizing, where you're torn up, trying to figure out how do I help my child through this life, through COVID, through teens, through this illness? We need help. We need guidance to be able to do this. God intended us to raise our children in community, which leads to a third very important point, and that is that God wants to help you and me through the Christians who are around us. Check out this verse in Romans 15. It says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. There is so much good stuff going on in here. First of all, we see this attention drawn to the fact that they have been filled with goodness, filled with knowledge. And I find this an incredible relief. What he doesn't say here is you need to figure out the answers and then bestow them upon your friends. What he says is you have been filled with knowledge. God gives us what we need to be able to figure out how to parent our children. God doesn't ask me to answer all my parents, my friends that are parents, problems and figure it out. He says, I want you to give to them what I've given to you. I've filled you with knowledge. And he says, you are competent to instruct one another. He doesn't say, become the perfect parent and then you may help others. He says, I have given you knowledge and you are competent. You have what you need to help other parents. And that is a role, a gift from him. His voice through other people into my life as a parent. In Colossians 3:16, we read this. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Again, his wisdom. Let the message of Christ dwell as you teach, as you admonish, as you instruct, as we learn. We want to give people God's wisdom as we try to help them parent. Not that long ago, I was working through some things in the teen years with Emma, and I was explaining to a friend some of what we were going through, and it was hard, and I think I might have been complaining a little, probably. And she stopped me and she said, you know what's kind of amazing about this situation is that God has forged a relationship between you and Emma that through her teen years, she actually wants to talk to you about all the things that are bothering her. What a gift from the Lord. She said to me, I would have done anything to have that kind of relationship with my mom when I was a teenager. And her bringing this up to me, reminding me what God had done, like it was like redirecting me to due north. It was a reset in my thinking of realizing, oh my God, I am so blessed that he has built a relationship between the two of us, that she trusts me, even during this time in her life, to talk about things. I needed those words from my friend. I needed the truth of God from my friend, and she was willing to share that with me. And it changed the way I was thinking about the situation with Emma. We need that in the teen years. We all do. Mother, father, son, daughter. It was a refreshing thing for my friend to be able to help me get that clarity of thinking. She was passing on God's wisdom to me. So we need, God wants to help us through the Christians around us. And then a fourth reason why input is important is because we have blind spots. You guys remember a picture like this from Driver's Ed, you know, like burned in your brain, the blind spot. What's the blind spot? Well, blind spots are dangerous because you can't see what's going on. Okay. You don't know what's happening. And so we all have blind spots. You do. I have them. You have them. And here's the thing. You can't figure them out because they're blind spots. I had a friend once say to me, you know, I've got all my blind spots figured out. I hope you can appreciate the humor in that statement. They're blind spots. We need other people to help us see what they are. Again, told you, I have a vast catalog of things to share with you. In elementary school, when Silas was kind of getting to those grades where the work level was increasing and it was becoming more of a thing where he had to work at school, I really pushed him. I pushed him to excel, to do his best. And I want to be really clear about something. It's good to want your children to do their best, to want them to excel. But there was a deeper issue going on with Silas that looked something like this. There was a part of me that really was taking my identity in how well he would do. So as he would get done with an assignment, as he would work on a project, as he would take a test, I would push him to do his best. And it wasn't for his sake. It wasn't for, you know, him working hard before the Lord. It was because I was worried about a reflection on me. And a friend of mine, a friend who loved us both very much, came to me and said, you know, I think there's something here that you don't see that's going on. And Jay came to me and said, I think there's something here that you might be missing. Where I was pushing Silas, where he was starting to learn from me that it's important to get the approval of other people. And oh my God, I do not want him to learn that lesson from me. There are a lot of things I want to pass on to him, but it isn't to try to live for the approval of people, to have that be what drives him. What would his life be like? It would be a lot like the struggles I've had with this area, and I don't want that for him. Thank God there were some people in my life who are willing to have a hard word with me about this. It was not an easy conversation. It was not an easy thing to hear. I'm not going to lie. It was painful. But they loved me enough. They loved Silas enough to pursue this, to talk to me about this for the sake of all of us involved. We have blind spots and we need other people to help us with them. Input from other people is essential to raise our kids well. So that leads us to our next question then. What gets in the way of receiving input? Well, the short answer is me, you know, right here. I get in the way of receiving input, specifically my ego, my pride. My ego and my pride are kind of like a diamond, you know, like multifaceted, but like not in a sparkly, bright kind of way, more in a dark and rough edges kind of way. And here's what I mean by that. First of all, you have like kind of the obvious thought that comes to mind when it comes to pride. You know, Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So what this verse is telling us is that there are things where we are absolutely convinced we're right, but we are not right. Okay, why do I do the things I do? I do them because I think it's the best way to go. It's the right way. But I am very often wrong. You know, why was it that I walked around on a foot that was hurting for several months before I went to see a doctor? Well, because it seemed like a good idea at the time. Well, I ended up at the doctor and the doctor took an x-ray and discovered that there was a bone that was broken from the side of my foot. And I ended up having to have surgery on that. And you know what he said to me? He said, if you would have come in right away when this happened, we would have just had to put a shoe on there and you would have been good to go. But because you waited so long, now we need to go in and fix it with surgery. Oof. Humble, like humble pie. But you know what? It was the way I thought I should deal with it. And I was absolutely wrong. My ego and my pride get me into a lot of problems. But then there are other facets to the diamond. When it comes to receiving input for me, there's the insecurities. What if they realize I don't have all the answers? Like, yeah, they already know, Patty. There's fear, you know, fear of being exposed, fear of you know, what if they see that I'm actually not as good a parent as I'm trying to put forward? What if they realize I've made mistakes? What if they, you know, all these things swirl around in this diamond of my insecurities and fears and ego and pride. And you know what is in common of all of these things? They're about me. It's about me. It's not about my children. It's not about what's best for them. It's not what about God is trying to instill through me to them. What gets in the way is when I'm so wrapped up in navel gazing and looking at myself and how I come across and how this reflects on me, I'm in such a vulnerable, needy place that I can't handle input. I can't handle correction. I need help. I need verses like this. This is the kind of person I want to be. In Proverbs 25, it says, to one who listens, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. To someone who's ready to listen, to someone who's ready to take that input, it is this precious diamond. It is the best thing for our family, for our children, to be someone who can take input, to be someone who can realize I need it. It gets in the way. So we really need to learn how we can be more receptive to input. And there's some things that I've tried. You know, maybe I can just try harder to listen to people. Have you ever tried this approach where you're just like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to just listen when people have something to say. I'm going to gut it out. Or maybe you've tried the hold my tongue thing, you know, where someone's talking to you and you're like, oh, that's interesting. You know, but inside you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. Both of these, not so helpful. Tried them both many times. Maybe we can learn, like read a book on parenting or take a class. Now I want to be clear about number three, love them. I've read some great books on parenting and I've taken classes. They have enormously helped my parenting. So I'm not saying those are not valuable. They are essential. But where I would start when it comes to learning to be more receptive to input is pursuing your relationship with God, becoming connected with God the Father in heaven. And this is a choice that we make. You know, having a relationship with God isn't something you're born into because of the country that you're in or the family that you're in or where you go to school. It's not something that you have because you have been a good person or your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds or because you say certain prayers or because you go to church. These are not what start a relationship with God. We need Jesus to start a relationship with God. And when Jesus Christ came down here and lived on this planet, he came on a rescue mission because we need rescued. We do things that are morally wrong to a perfectly moral God. They're called, the Bible calls them sin. You can call them whatever you want to call them, but we do things that separate us from God. And when Jesus Christ came down here on that mission and he died on that cross, what he was doing was paying for the things that you and I do wrong, so that that justice could be satisfied by his sacrifice. And so we read verses like this in John 1, where it says, but as to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believe, you know what, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe you sacrificed so that I wouldn't have to. And I accept that. I want that forgiveness. I want you in my life. That's when we become a part of his family. That's when we become his child. And once that relationship starts, God starts wanting to develop this relationship with him where he unfolds like this gorgeous flower, the things that are true about him, the things that he promises, the things that are true about me now. And as we learn those things, it changes who we are. I just picked out a few favorite verses of mine to share with you that God has shown me over time. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. The Lord is my strength. He protects me. I can trust him. He helps me. These are things about his character. They start to shape you. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. God wants to show me the way. He wants to show me how to be the best mom I can be to Silas and Emma. That involves turning away from the things that I think are right and seeing what maybe does he have that's different. I can trust him with my whole heart. I can't say that about my way. These are words from Jesus himself. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That is what Jesus wants for you, for me, for your child, for mine. He wants us to have this full life as we pursue this relationship with him in imperfect, stumbling along the way, we pursue this relationship with him and it starts to change us. Phyllis, thinking of it a little bit like this. Oftentimes, as a parent, I operate like this glass, kind of half full, right here. Right? I have a relationship with God, I'm connected with him. But I'm not really pursuing that relationship with him. When that is the case, what often will happen is I will try to seek approval. I might try to seek approval through my parenting. Then it's tied to the choices that my kids make or the things that they're doing. My glass is not very full. When that is the case, it is really hard to take input. I'm really operating from this place of need where I'm trying to take something from my role of parenting, right? You know what I'm talking about? Where you feel like a car that's, you know, on the empty light is on and you're running on fumes. When I am not pursuing that relationship with him, when I am not trying to learn what he promises, who he is, what he says about me, I'm like that cup. But what God wants is to teach me things, to show me things, lifelines, things like I am loved the same every day by him. On my best day, on my worst day, on the days when I, you know, have to take Emma to the ER as a grouch only to realize I'm wrong, or the days when I'm like, you know, triumph as a parent. He loves me the same on those days. When I'm learning that he's going to provide everything I need. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but he says he's going to provide everything I need. Everything they're going to need. He's involved with my children. He's more invested in their growth and their happiness and their successes than I am. He's a source of strength, of wisdom, grace, encouragement. His character is the rock I can stand on. As an imperfect parent, as I am taking these things in our relationship, my cup is much more like this. And there is enormous freedom that comes. As I know that I'm loved the same every day, it's not so threatening to realize I'm an imperfect parent. It's not as hard, to be honest about my failures and the needs I have and the mistakes I make. It's not as hard to listen. That's how pursuing a relationship with God really helps us learn to be more receptive to input, because we realize how much God loves us, what he promises us. And it's not quite so threatening to admit that I have needs here that I need help. A second thing, a way we can learn to be more receptive to input, is to go after it. Seek the input. Don't wait for it. I love this proverb. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Go after it. I have this friend, Amy, and we walk every Monday. And it'll happen regularly where she'll be like, hey, there's this thing going on. I don't know what to do. What do I do? And so we spend time on these walks trying to figure out what's God's perspective about our roles as mothers. You know, go after it. Seek input from other people. If you find yourself in a situation where you're not sure what to do, go after another Christian. Go after, you know, seek after it. Ask for help. Ask for wisdom from folks. Another thing that I need to do is to pray to be receptive. God has to do a mighty work on my heart. I've told you about the many facets of my ego. God has to do a work on my heart to be receptive. And so I need to ask him, God, help me to be secure in who I am with you, that I can admit I don't have all the answers, that I fail, that I make mistakes, that I can learn from these things. God, help me remember I don't have to prove myself through parenting. I want to be this kind of person. Pray proverbs like this: do not rebuke mockers, they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. God, I want to be someone who loves getting your wisdom in whatever way you want to bring it to me. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. God, I want to learn. God, I want you to teach me. I have to pray for my heart to be receptive to those things. Maybe you're like me. Ask God to help you be receptive to input and listen. If someone has something to share with you, take a deep breath, pray to God, and listen. It is so easy for me to dismiss what people say to me. You know, it might be finding fault with the delivery, like maybe it wasn't handled perfectly, or maybe a lot of the things that they said aren't true. And so I can just be like, I don't need to listen to that. But maybe, just maybe, there is a nugget in there that God is wanting to bring to my attention. And so we listen and we pray, God, I want to do the best I can with my kids. Help me learn something here if there's something you have for me. Listen and ask God to help you. And lastly, something that's really important is for us to fight to remember that God is involved. You know, God is involved in my life. He's involved in your life, your kids' lives, other people's lives. He is involved in the situations that we're in. He's involved in the conversations we have. He's involved when someone comes and sits down and has the courage to talk to you about parenting. When I think through these things, there's a verse I read over. I cannot tell you how many times I have read this verse. A friend of mine made it because she's heard me talk about it so much into a plaque that's in my room. In Ephesians 3, it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Okay. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. You can't even think of prayers big enough to ask him. Okay? He is able, he is capable of doing so much more than we can fathom. We need to remember that. We need to remember his power is involved here. He does the heavy lifting. He will be involved in our children's lives every day of their lives. Same of mine. This brings me such comfort and hope to remember him, to remember what he promises about my children, and that he is involved and that he is so powerful. He can blow our minds with the things that he will do. All right, just to wrap up then, parenting is one of the most important roles you will fulfill, and we all need help. I have learned so much about parenting through other people. I've learned it from parents, other parents. I've learned from people who aren't parents. I've learned from my own children how to be a better parent. I remember sitting at the dining room table one day and my son said something. He was like 7 years old and the Lord was like, he wanted to teach me something. If we are open to input, God can use a myriad of ways to get our attention. And man, do we want it. We want to do the best by our family and our children. Second, our egos and our pride lead us. They lead us towards this place of parenting in isolation, in fear, in the quiet. This is a way where we really need to stand against our culture. Our culture teaches, you know, you mind your business and I mind my business. It's okay to talk about things like how great the Buckeyes are, or movies that we see, or things like that. But when it comes to these personal things, you mind your own business. Not so in God's world, in his community. He intends us to be woven together. We need other people. We have to fight against. I am drawn towards listening to my ego. We have to fight. And we can learn to be more receptive. Maybe you're like me and you feel like it's granite up here. God can break through. We can learn to be receptive to input, especially as we get closer to him and we allow other people to have a voice. Allow him to speak to us through the people around us. Imperfect, people who make mistakes, who aren't going to always do it in a pretty fashion, but who can give us God's word if we're ready to listen. And then lastly, I didn't really talk about this too much, but the implication of all this is that there are people who are willing to speak up and talk to their friends who are parents. Are you willing to be that voice? We all need it. Are you willing to do it? Are there people that you love enough that you're willing to speak up and take that chance, take that risk for the sake of the family, for the sake of the children, for the sake of the parents? Are you willing to be that voice in your parenting? I'm going to pray for us. But I just wanted to put my email up here. If you have thoughts, if you have questions, if you want to share stories, I told you we are all in this together. We all have stories to share. I would love to hear from you. So reach out if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful that when I think about being a parent, I know what an incredible, precious gift my children are, that you've entrusted to Jay and I, and I know how much I fall short. Thank you, God, that you are a mighty, powerful, good God, and that you can help every one of us as we sit here and think about receiving input, and you can help us grow. Thank you that you are a one day at a time, one step at a time kind of God. That gives me incredible hope. And it also gives me hope that you've surrounded me with people who can help me become the best parent I can be with your help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for tuning in. And I will be praying for you as you listen and think through this as God is teaching me to. All right.